Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NarniaWeb.com podcast. Today is another bite of Narnia news in a nutshell. We just celebrated Independence Day here in America, so it's been a little busy, and we didn't actually do a council episode this week, and so no Prince Caspian analysis today. Today, I'm just going to do a brief recap of what's been going on in the with the Narnia films, and there's actually been quite a bit of news, and we mentioned some of it here and there in the analysis episodes, but here I just wanted to do a brief recap on everything that's been going on. First up, how is Prince Caspian doing at the box office? Right now, it is July 6th, and according to boxofficemojo.com, the domestic grossings here in the U.S. are $138,780,000. And the foreign grossings are $161,596,000, roughly. So about $162 million abroad. So worldwide comes to just over $300 million. Not really horrible. It's definitely not at all as good as we would have liked to see. However, the film did just has just been recently coming out in Europe. So, in fact, the premiere for Prince Caspian was the biggest UK film premiere ever, and it I think even topped Wanted opening weekend. So it did pretty good job. Also, keep in mind there's quite a few countries like Turkey, Bulgaria, Portugal, Germany, Austria. They haven't even seen the film yet. So there's still a little more to come. I think it's going to do very well overseas, and it's been actually more well received in Europe than it was in the U.S. And I think a lot of that, some people blame Disney's marketing for the cause. You can blame the film itself, although most people I talked to actually liked it better than the first one, especially non-book fans. They liked it better than the first one. Although I think the biggest factor and one reason why it's doing so well overseas versus here is the timing. It came out between Iron Giant and Indiana Jones 4, and that did not help at all. So I think that was definitely one of the big factors there, in my opinion. And here's just a few numbers for you. Let's see. Apparently, the film took in £4.1 million in its opening weekend. That's about a little over $8 million here in the U.S. And according to Screen International, so it did. And it said edged out another newcomer action thriller, Wanted, in the UK. And the Hollywood Reporter writes, as the European Soccer Championships wound to a conclusion Sunday, third-place finisher The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, introduced itself to continental Europe, scoring strongly in the UK and France for an overall weekend estimate of $20.1 million from 4,200 screens in 34 markets. And I think in overall Europe it said Wanted, with James McAvoy, Mr. Tumnus, won the weekend, grossing $33 million, followed by Kung Fu Panda, which earned $21.5 million. So that's Prince Caspian at the box office. All I can say is, way to go, Europe. We're proud of you guys. You guys have done Narnia proud. Next big news is Will Poulter has been cast as Eustace Scrubb. He recently starred in the new movie Son of Rambo. I have not seen the movie myself, although I've actually heard it's pretty cute. You can actually go to YouTube and see it. You just go to YouTube, look up Son of Rambo trailer, and you can watch him in that. He's pretty much this little kid making a movie about the son of Rambo. And it's I think he'll actually do a pretty good job. I can definitely see him as Eustace. I think he has the ability to, of course, play the nasty Eustace. I can definitely see that there. Hopefully, of course, he can play the very sympathetic character of Eustace that we see in The Silver Chair, and really one of the great Narnian heroes. I think that I was talking to one Narnia Webber, and he does not at all like that he is going to be... I think the actor is 14... you know, yes, he's older than Georgie Henley, although, judging by where they are right now, and if they start filming, well, maybe in January, in 6 months or so, I think that he will look younger than Lucy, which, of course, the character of Eustace is supposed to be younger than Lucy, and, it's supposed to kind of show the irony that, you know, he's kind of a bully, and yet Lucy's bigger than he is. I don't think it'll be a problem. He is going to grow up fast, and I think casting maybe a, 11 or 12 year old versus a 14 year old isn't a big deal. He definitely doesn't look 14. Well, at least like he doesn't look as old as a lot of my 14 year old friends. And judging from his little bit of acting I've seen, I think he could be very good. I'm pretty happy. I'm not at all. I don't see any great reason for for a lot of caution here, like I might have seen with Ben Barnes, where oh my goodness, he's a 26 year old and he's oh my goodness, and how is he going to do? I don't really have that feeling here, so I'm pretty optimistic. I did imagine him with black hair, but oh well. There's actually a rumor that Michael Apted is in fact not living his life to please me, so I can't really complain. Next, filming locations for The Voyage of the Dawn Treader in New Zealand are somewhat tentative. The filming at Baja Studios in Mexico are set in stone, and apparently location shots in Australia will still be filmed as planned. But while Ben Barnes and Mark Johnson confirmed back in early May that they would be filming in New Zealand, it seems like that's been become more tentative now. And I'm not really sure where they're going to film a lot of the island scenes. I'm guessing areas around Mexico. Personally, I always imagined nearly all the islands to have a very tropical look. Although, I think it might be a little different with, I don't know, I guess I did imagine a more tropical look to some, like Deathwater Island. I definitely imagine that to be a very tropical-looking island. But some, like the Lone Islands and the island with Koryarkin, I think those, I didn't imagine looking very tropical at all. I guess I imagined them looking more like an island you'd find off the coast of Scotland or something. So, that's just the little news wrap-up there. So Australia, Mexico, still there. Not quite sure about New Zealand. Also, apparently the production is not going to start in October, as we first heard. I know that Jintz confirmed that when she was at the UK premiere, Ben Barnes said that production would actually be starting in January of 2009. So that's another change there. Although, I, for one, hey, look, the actors are already not quite exactly what the book's ages say they are. So 6 months, if they feel it's going to increase the quality of the film and give them better time for rewriting the script or working on better aspects of pre-production, I'm all for that. I don't see a problem with that at all. And speaking of the script, many of you know that there was a leaked script that got out. I will not go into great detail as to what it said. I read through it. Did not read it all in depth, but it had a lot of things in there that caused a great deal of controversy among a lot of people. And the big question was, is it official? We found out that it was official. We got an official statement from the production. And firstly, they wanted us to know they are really deeply sorry for any disquiet or emotional discomfort that this occurrence may have brought about. And they said they are working to try to prevent this sort of thing from ever happening again. They said these pages were indeed illicitly released, though not, we think, from any malice on the part of any member of our team. And thirdly, they said the pages were from a very early experimental draft, which should, in fact, never have been seen by anyone outside of a very small group of producers. So that tells me right there that it's, on one hand, it did cause a lot of disquiet, and I read through some things, and that, sure, there's a lot of things to get worried about there, but I was telling Glumpuddle this, we were chatting about it one evening, and I said, consider this, I think a lot of fans would be very happy, could really not ask for much more than if, say, the Narnia films became as great as the Lord of the Rings films. Yes, those films are flawed too, but they're considered by many to be the epitome of fantasy filmmaking. And if these were done as well as that, then we couldn't really complain about much else. And you look at the early script ideas they had on the Lord of the Rings, even some they filmed. I mean, Arwen fighting at Helm's Deep, good grief. Come on. So you look at little things there and how it eventually turned out. I was not too worried. So that's going to be pretty much the end of it. I will say there were a lot of X's out throughout the script. There were different lines that had been crossed out and things, and so it It definitely was a pretty early draft to my mind. So, what with that, a little more upbeat news on scripting. We actually have our fan script, our little fan movie script. You can get that at narniaweb.com. It's a transcript in PDF form, and I won't name everyone that contributed, but a lot of people did go ahead and contribute. And it's pretty nice. It's really good. I use it on the podcast as we're going through the Prince Caspian analysis so we can keep track of where we are and try to make sure we're not missing any lines here and there. And it's pretty fun to have. Finally, in wrapping up here, those of you interested in the DVD/Blu-ray news for Prince Caspian, apparently, according to UltimateDisney.com, there should be a release. They're expected to release DVD and Blu-ray in December of 2008. No word on whether there will be a special edition or extended edition. There also is no available cover art yet, though it's likely to be similar to one of the two posters they released for the movie. So that's going to be coming out hopefully by Christmas. I'm looking forward to getting it. Hopefully I'll have a Blu-ray player by that time. You can go to YouTube and look up Glumpuddle's review of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe Blu-ray disc. It looks pretty impressive. I'm really excited about it. Now, I've come up with a new idea for feedback. Of course, you can always email me for questions, anything like that, input, reallyin@narniaweb.com. But if you have negative comments, of course, we welcome negative comments. Email me. If you have positive comments, though, go to the iTunes store, look us up, just do a search for Narnia Web, you'll find us, and give a positive review. You know, so if it's negative, send me an email. Positive, give us a review. That would be the what we would hope for, anyway. We've got about 8 reviews. We're doing about 4.5 stars right now, 4.5 stars out of 5. So doing pretty good, but please feel free to go to the iTunes store tell your friends, as Douglas Gresham would say, tell your enemies. And that pretty much wraps it up. Until next time, I'm your host, Rillian, and thanks for listening.